listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibrations Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Guys, this is Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey Crockett, and this is the show where we raise your vibration. Vibration Station. We feel the energy swirling in the studio. We got green, we got gold, we got white, we got red, orange, blue, green, white, gold, red, orange, blue. Indigo in the studio. Woo! I'm just messing around. What's going on, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey Crockett, and boy, oh boy, do we have a show lined up for you today. We have the one and only Brother Skaya.
How's it going, everybody?
It is such a blessing. Such a blessing. And not only do we have a brother, Skaya, we also have a sister in the studio. Oh, man. What a pleasure. Such a wonderful combination of energies today do we have. We'd like to welcome no other. How are you, sweetheart? How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank
wonderful.
You.
Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. And what just so we all... We all know what do you go by, right? It's not
Junie Mae.
Junie Mae. Perfect. Beautiful. I was gonna say I know your name, but I know that there's also a name that we all go by, mm-hmm. right? Junie Mae. So we have Skaya Indigo, Junie Mae, Davey Crockett. What a wonderful combination. Wow, do I feel a rocket ship getting ready to blast into space. You know what, guys? As you know, this is the show. I've said this three times already. I'm going to say it again. Where we raise your vibrations. But there's no other people in the world that we would rather be sharing these wonderful vibrations with than you. Than you. You're like, me? I'm like, yes, you. You're like, how do you know it's me? I'm like, I know it's you because you're listening to me and I'm saying you. That's a trip. So, today's show is enlightening. Today's show is really, really focused on the destruction of mankind.
Yes, a great focus.
And how to properly not accelerate the collective consciousness. I'm just kidding. We can call today Sarcastic Sunday.
Davey got a haircut.
I got a haircut. And you know what? That's why I feel a little off. I'm always kind of like vibing and riding. I love my hair. My hair is a part of me. It's like a limb to me. And the reason why I got it cut is for the man. As much as I don't want to admit it. I would only be lying to myself if I denied it. I had to get my hair cut against my will, because I'm going to be representing people in the job industry, in the man industry, that don't like curly hair. That's just, they just don't like it. So that's something that I do want to touch on, right? Is when we make alterations to ourselves, when we do certain things to our bodies, right? We have piercings, tattoos, even something as silly, may sound silly to you, as cutting your hair, right? We all have our different forms of expression, right? We all have our different forms of how we see ourselves and how we want to interpret ourselves and
identify
ourselves, right? But it's fascinating. I want to touch on two aspects of the human consciousness and the human ego, right? Here we go. Number one is we have our ego construct, right? Our ego construct is, for listeners out there that are wondering what that is, that is actually what allows you to be a human and operate on like on a third dimensional plane with you know why you like, yeah, go ahead, Sky.
Identity.
Thank you, brother. You know why, for example, you like to wear the pants that you do. And that's why if you see somebody else walking down the street and you don't really vibe or you don't really resonate with what that person's wearing, well, that's because you have a different ego construct, and it's as simple as, you know, what the individual vibrates to and just how they choose to express themselves, right? So, Skaya, question, man.
Yeah, man.
We have our ego construct, which is telling me right now that when I walk out of the house, you know, I like to wear jeans. I don't think twice about it. They feel comfy on my pants, on my legs. You know what I'm saying? When I walk, I like slippers. I do. That's what I dig.
Dig 'em.
Slippers.
Dig 'em.
Okay. Personally, I don't really like shirts with anything on them, except it's like, unless it's like a Metatron's cube or like something really dank like that. You know what I'm saying? Something that has a positive a mudra to it, you know, like a good like, right? Anything else, but that's my ego construct, right? When Skaya walks out, Skaya's like, dude, I'm going to look like the most awesome dude you're ever going to meet. And I'm like, that's awesome, dude. Like, yes, and that's, right? So tell me, bro. Tell me, where's the line drawn between, like, ego, feeding the ego construct through piercings, tattoos, right? Certain hairstyles, what we wear, okay? Where's the line drawn between the ego construct and then following an identity of true self?
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
There's a...
You're speaking English, so I get it. I would say, first of all, the first word that came to my consciousness would be judgment, personal and external.
Okay.
You know, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, what comes up? And according to what comes up in the individual's mind, can alter the decision-making of the day, can alter the experience of the day.
Right.
And I feel that we've been conditioned greatly,
yes,
into judging others and judging ourselves through certain aspects that we need to identify with society.
Yes.
And that can, build upon what you're calling the ego construct. I don't think it's wrong to
right.
wear things you like to wear. It's an
no.
expression of who you are.
Exactly. You know? It's not wrong.
And,
not at all.
I think it's if there's any judgment behind it, I'm like, well, if I'm wearing this, then what will people think, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know, and if that person's wearing that, then what, you know, a reflection on the self, or I think that's where it really comes down to, is the big J word of judgment. And, you know, there's a universal law of judgment.
The big J word of judgment. Dude, that's totally true. Yeah, totally.
And it's a feminine law. And it's actually a circle with a line down the middle, so it's equal, and then two circles on either end outside of that circle, on the same plane as the straight line. And that's guarded by the Snake Nation. And
beautiful.
When you call upon this law, and you ask to be initiated into this law, what happens is in the dream time, you get the snake will come up to you and coil you around your neck and bite you.
Really?
And it'll inject you with a venom called love. And love is the ultimate freedom from judgment.
Right. It is.
So if you got universal and unconditional love, then judgment won't come up. You're just going to understand the person's position and experience at that time.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a powerful law.
It is extremely powerful law. Extremely powerful law. Listeners, just to kind of inform you, I did want to touch on symbolism today. That was one of you know, the intentional topics for the day was symbolism and the importance behind symbolism. Listeners, I wanna spit something at you real quick. You like it? So we, right, we as human beings in our society, we have the alphabet. We have certain symbols for religion. We have the cross. We have the Star of David. We have the
Star of David.
We have the Iranian bird. Excuse my lack of ignorance. Excuse my ignorance. My lack of knowledge. For I don't know the god or the idol himself, but there is a symbol, right?
And it's Horus?
It is a bird. Is that what it's called?
Horus.
That is totally what it's called. Thank you, Junie Mae. You're awesome.
Horus the sun god?
Horus the sun god?
If you're speaking of the bird, I think you're talking about Horus. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and that actually does resonate. That does sound... yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's why we have Junie Mae on the show, to make up for David's lack of knowledge. So, through these, we have such intimate forms of expression. What I mean by that is, by writing something down, right? By writing a sentence, you can communicate an idea. A book. Has a book ever touched somebody? Have you ever communicated powerful energy through literature? Yes. Have you communicated powerful energy through crosses? Why do people wear crosses? Why do people spend all their money on devoting themselves to a symbol? Do you know what I'm saying? Why?
Because it represents something.
Because it represents something.
And it has a story.
And it has a story. A symbol is not just what meets the eye. A symbol in itself contains a multidimensional, faceted meaning. Right? Because... Right. Not only when I draw, okay, we have these things called star symbols, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to want to go to Star Knowledge TV, Star Knowledge, KNOWLEDGE, TV.com. Look up star symbols. And you're going to find certain symbols. And what these things do and what these things mean, these are helpers, if you will. They're sacred star symbols that have been passed down through many generations, not of just planet Earth, but of other history that we have of our star brothers and sisters, certain ascended masters, certain guides. They have aided and assisted us by giving us these symbols to use and to utilize in our own ways. But each of these symbols has a different meaning. For example, when I take my pen and I simply draw, I'm just going to use for an example the spiritual growth of man, that symbol. Well, when I draw the spiritual growth of man symbol, just as if you were to draw a cross or you were to draw a Star of David, what you're actually doing in your head is setting and rearranging neural nets to match and to vibrate to the frequencies that represent the symbol that you're drawing. This is science. This is physics, what we're dealing with. I'm not trying to flood you with some labble babble, draw symbols everywhere you go. No. I'm telling you the physics. I'm telling you the scientific definition behind why it is so important for us to draw these symbols. And we can even make symbols for ourselves that represent certain things for us and draw them and put them up places. They're reminders is what they are. They allow us the opportunity to see these symbols and to feel something. And when you feel something, that is what leads a generation. A feeling, a spark, an energy, a belief.
A vision.
A vision! Yes, a vision, an intention. These are the things that lead, that love, that unconditionally support. Floating in the golden lotus, man. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm trying to tell you. Once again, it's just another way to aid and assist. It's another way to help. It's another way to love. It's another way to spread happiness, spread love. Because when you see these symbols, it makes you feel a certain way. And when you feel a certain way, you emanate that. You are a light bulb of whatever that is that you are feeling. And just like a light bulb, you can be seen. You can be felt.
Boing.
Beautiful thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to go on to StarKnowledgeTV.com. Really interesting. Look up the star symbols and just read through them, right? We think they're so cool and so awesome because, personally, when Skaya showed me the star symbols, I started working with them. I started practicing them. I started drawing them. And I started closing my eyes and envisioning them. And it actually starts to change the way you think. For the better. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel loved. It taps you in to certain aspects of yourself that are not as easy to tap into.
Your sacred self.
Your sacred self.
You reach that during meditation, and you know the great thing about it is if you take these symbols into your meditation and into your time of sacredness, they exponentially amplify, and you know that's where the teachings will come through.
Right.
And on a personal level for you, however it's attuned to you. A little history on it. These symbols were not, it's not the first time these symbols have been presented to Earth. The first time, I do believe, according to Chief Golden Eagle, was 52,000 years ago.
Word.
Which is half of 26,000 years. So it was about two ages ago.
Right.
And I believe that would make that the age of, what is that? Yeah, Aries.
Age of Aries.
Yeah.
Word.
But, yeah, there's three different guardians per symbol, and one's an Earth Guardian, one's a Star Guardian, one's an Ascended Master Guardian.
Right.
And the symbols actually were brought in from sun dances.
Oh, wow. From like tribes and whatnot and, yeah. And gatherings doing these sun dances. And were they channeled or were they like...
Well, what are the sun dances is you take 4 days. Well, first you do a 4-day vision quest on top of a mountain, no food, no water. So you do an absolute fast. And then you do another 4 days of no food, no water, doing Sundance, praying and singing to the sun for 4 days, 4 nights.
Do you do a Sundance at night?
I do believe.
Yeah?
They do it all day long. You know, yeah. they pierce their skin and attach themselves to a tree. So they have no food, no water, and they can't move. They can only dance around this tree. They have hooks in their skin.
Okay.
Attaching them to a tree.
And is it, like, by a string, and they, like, are allowed to dance? Or it's, like, is it, like, on the tree, and they can, like, they're, like, stuck to the tree?
Well, they have a small distance between the tree and themselves.
That's amazing.
And so around the fourth day,
and they stay like that for 4 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And around the fourth day is when they usually get their vision.
Okay.
And you can tell when they're like in the zone, as the Chiefs call it.
Okay.
In the zone.
I could only imagine. Yeah.
And they'll see the symbol in a flash, in like 1/10 of a millisecond.
Right.
You know, like in a blink of an eye, they'll drop to the ground.
That's how it happens.
And then they draw it in the ground. Circle it, activate it, so it gets embedded into the Earth grid.
Okay.
But also, the translations that have come through all came through Chief Golden Eagle's grandson, who's 10 years old.
Really?
He was the actual channel for all these messages because he had no influence of drugs, alcohol. He was a clean vessel.
Of course.
So, just a little history on it.
That's beautiful. So did the 10-year-old did he partake in a Sundance, or was he just
he sat in ceremony for every time they needed the messages to come through for the symbols.
Okay. And would he start channeling like an entity, or would he just like channel the information and then like draw it?
No. He would look at the symbol.
Mm.
This is all according to Chief Golden Eagle.
Mm.
He would look at the symbol, and then they'd go into ceremony.
Mm.
So he'd add the visual, and then the messenger, the guardians would come
through.
So that's how they know which guardians they are. And then, so yeah.
Wow, man. That's amazing.
But, you know, it's a whole other generation that we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
So.
Oh, it's a whole other generation. And that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we talk like this. That's just because this is the age where we make a fundamental change in the way that we communicate, in the way that we talk, in the things that we talk about, right? It's no longer talking about, you know what I'm trying to say. That always happens. Like it's no longer like really like how many medications can we give this person, right? We're moving from this. See now understand the dimensional shift between the two. Here's where we were. Oh, what kind of medications can we grant this person? Where's the chemotherapy? The this, the that, right? Well, in today's world, and in the world that we are accelerating faster and faster towards, we realize and we recognize that the only true medication is thought. The only true, well, along with coconuts and wheatgrass and those dank things.
And love,
well, obviously. But I'm saying, like, one of the well, here we go. A thought. Without wheatgrass, if you were to just drink a shot of wheatgrass and just be like, you know what, like not even care, you know, like, it's a, you know, and not put
would
any
it still
intention.
Would have the same effect?
That's what I'm saying.
I was thinking about this when you were talking earlier about symbols, because originally my mind was thinking, well, a symbol without an understanding, without your intention, would seem purposeless.
Right.
But then I thought of, sometimes I've gone to see Amma at her ashram in San Ramon, and
what's that? What is
Amma?
That? Yes.
Amma, she's a saint from India who does a lot of
no way.
Work.
And that's
you've
awesome.
Never heard of
Amma? No, I have not.
Ammachi. So she does tours and she gives hugs. She gives Darshan her blessing through her hugs. And
nice.
She visits North America. She lives in India, but she was giving teachings one day, and someone asked, like, Amma, what if someone's meditating or doing these practices, but they have no idea what it is they're doing? Like, will it still work? And she said, well, if you put a person in a dark room and they're wandering around fumbling for the light switch, like, eventually they're going to hit it.
Right.
Like, even if there's complete darkness, if they're in that room long enough fumbling around, they'll hit it and the light will come on. So I think it could be possible that if someone's just drinking wheatgrass and not, you know, putting intention of wellness behind it or even knowing what it is, like, or using a symbol without a deeper understanding, you know, eventually if they're fumbling around in the dark, a light will come on.
Yes.
I mean, of course, things are stronger and more potent with our intention if we're putting our mind behind it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I've always kind of questioned myself with is, you know, when working with symbols, and not even symbols, when working with intention, you know, it's really a gauge of, like, how much energy can you, well, obviously the more energy you put into something, the more it will be affected by that energy. It's physics, you know. There's a wonderful experiment that partially proves this a little bit. In the book The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart, a wonderful book, I have said this many a times. Listeners, I greatly, greatly advise to read the book, The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. It will show you the actual world that we live in, not just what you've been taught. So in this book, it explains metaphysical experiments through scientific proof, right? Obviously, if you do a metaphysical experiment, you're going to get proof. When it comes down to taking two quartz crystals, now this is what they did in the experiment, one of the experiments. They took two quartz crystals. Now, for people out there that aren't familiar with crystals and whatnot, quartz is extremely... it's like a succulent, like, when it comes to a crystal. It's like, it's just like, quartz is like, it retains its energy easily. It's easily, like, influenced, right? So, if you set an intention in a quartz crystal, the crystal will inevitably hold that intention. And accept the intention, because there are some crystals that their electromagnetic field just will not allow for another vibration, but quartz is not like that. Quartz is friendly. So what they did is Lynn McTaggart, she got some of the most powerful people to set intentions around the world. She got a few yogis, a few monks, from India, from Taiwan, you know, just really in tune people that have the ability to affect their reality through their thoughts in a very potent way. So they all came together, and Lynn McTaggart goes, listen, we have 15,000 fruit flies. They said, well, the fruit fly's average lifespan, I believe, was a week. It's a larger fly. And they then got a fruit fly specialist to come in and explain to the yogis, to the intention setters, what would have to actually occur in the fly's body to allow the fly to live 100% more than it's supposed to make the fly stronger and to make the fly live for 2 weeks. What would actually have to happen in the fly's anatomy, the fly's body? Well, the specialist told them that there was a certain balance of this PHP and then an FHC and then the DLAAQ in the left ligament under the stupid duper skakalaka flap. So like, basically he set this like soup, like, okay, if you're like a fly specialist, like, how do you like explain like what is going on in a fly's body, like down to like the T point of this, you know? So all these numbers and these letters that mean different things, he explained it. The intention setters asked if they could get a simpler definition for the intention. So, they came to the conclusion that for the fruit fly to live an extra week longer than a regular fruit fly, so they're living twice the amount of length, that's like a human being in today's society living for like 200 years, right? And then us being like super strong and super strength, like adrenaline 24/7 mode. Or just like you're a young monk yogi master and you can combine your first two chakras and the yin and the yang and swah, and just like bam, make the energy swah. You guys seen that? It's awesome, dude. They're like come here, and guys try to like come at them, but then they just like put their foot down and then like their field like stops them, like, whoa, I can't touch. So basically what they did with the fruit flies is they told the intention setters to make the flies live for twice as long and make them twice as strong. Well, they set the intention. The scientists told them exactly what had to happen, what had to occur in the fly for this to happen. They set the intention for this crystal. So they had two quartz crystals, 15,000 fruit flies, two quartz crystals, and like 12 intention setters. One quartz crystal, they set the intention, right?
Yeah.
They all said the same intention, same prayer, put it in the quartz crystal in that room, in a black box. They then take another quartz crystal that is just a quartz crystal. Yes, it's charged. It has a positive energy. It's a quartz crystal. Put that one in a black box. They then took 7,500 flies. That's half of 15,000. Put 7,500 in one cage, 7,500 in the other cage. They put one quartz crystal in the black box in one cage, and then the other quartz crystal in the black box, which has been charged with this intention to make the flies live twice as long, in the other cage. Well, they left the flies there for 2 weeks and came back. Folks, the quartz crystal that had the intention set, actually, the quartz crystal that didn't have the intention set on it, it was just the regular quartz crystal, they came back to the cage, and every single fly was dead. There was not one living fly in the cage. They come back to the cage with the crystal with the intention set, something like 93% of the flies were still alive. I want to say 100 just because, like, it's like obviously like they like fly and run into each other. You know what I'm saying?
Like, there are some dead ones.
There's
they
a few.
Just mishaps.
There was just mishaps.
Yeah.
They were just
jealous lovers.
Jealous lovers, dude. They're like, dude, I'm so strong. They're like, dude, I need some fly ass! And they're like, why do I feel so good?
What was the conclusion of this experiment?
The conclusion of the experiment is that the intention made such a fundamental difference in the reality that it's only that we not do we question these abilities, but we just learn to accept them and to use them to the collective's ability to create the society that we have always wanted. Is it like so difficult? Can we just like think about it for a sec? Like, what do you prefer? It's as simple as that.
Between what and what?
Between anything and anything.
Could you explain, baby, what an intention is?
Of course.
Like, exactly.
Do you want to explain what an intention is, Junie
Mae?
No,
I'm asking you. And I have to say, for many years, it's a word that would come up.
Word.
And I would feel like I was supposed to know what it meant, but honestly, I really didn't understand what that word meant, and it took some time, but I want you to explain, what is an intention exactly? Hmm. Like, what is it to have
That's wonderful.
Intention, and
totally.
How
word.
Do we do that?
First of all, I agree with you. I've felt that, and I totally resonate with that, because, like, there is many things that, like, will come up, and you're like, wait, I feel like I should know that, and I'm going to go along with it and take my gut instinct to say, like, what I feel like I think it is, but it feels good, okay, and then you, like, learn what you're, and you're like, oh. Intention, well, intention for me, I guess intention could, there is a, obviously, a set definition for what it is, but it can also be different for the individual, I think. Intention for me is the ability to conjure up in my beautiful, blessed brain anything and everything that I could ever conjure up, right? So, like, let's pick. Here we go. Bam. I feel intention. I feel like, here we go. Perfect. This morning, I set an intention for my uncle. I said a prayer for him, and I set an intention. My intention for my uncle is to release his pain. That is my intention. Now, what I did is I actually, my uncle is, he's going into hospice. And I imagined him floating in this, like, jello-y, bright green, sparkly field. And he's just, like, floating in it, and he's laughing because it feels so good. It feels like the most amazing Egyptian cotton that's just, like, like, and it's like, oh, on your face. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. He, like, can't stop laughing. And then, like, all of a sudden, he's, like, breaking through, and it, like, bam, gold! And he, like, breaks through gold. He's like, whoa, and like, and he's loving it, and he's like floating through like the astro energies, and my intention is for him to feel that, right? So the definition of an intention would be the ability to think something and affect it in your reality. That's, I
so
guess,
so it could be a visualization or
yeah.
a prayer or actually, I just looked up the definition online.
Can we, let's hear it out.
Sometimes I like to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It says, an act or instance of determining mentally upon some action or result, the end or object intended purpose. So, yeah, it can just be a prayer or a visualization or applying our thoughts to certain ends, a means to an end.
Yes.
I feel the word intention.
Yes.
To simply put it.
Yes.
In one short sentence.
Please.
Why are you doing it?
Bing.
Why are you doing it?
Why are you doing it? Yeah. That's like Jeopardy.
Because that's my...
What is intention? Why are you doing it? That's awesome, man. It's true. That's absolutely true. There's...
To see a certain result.
But the to see a certain result
is, why you're doing
is why you're doing it. To see the result.
That's the intention.
That is the intention. Exactly. So using this knowledge, using the ability to ask yourself why you're doing it, doesn't that broaden the perspective a little bit? Doesn't that allow you to think, okay, well, if my intention is as simple as asking myself, why am I doing it? Then shouldn't I ask myself why I'm doing anything? Right.
Even why we dress the way we dress.
Exactly. Or... Exactly.
Because everything has intention or else action wouldn't happen.
Totally.
It's true.
It's absolutely true. And this is another thing that we've talked about many a times. Stepping out of your comfort zone, right? We've had a whole show on stepping out of your comfort zone and how stepping out of your comfort zone is actually how you become a more comfortable person. Well, I feel like this all ties in. It obviously does. Everything ties in. But the ability to ask yourself, why are you doing something? And then stepping out of your comfort zone. What if these two clash?
Clash?
What if these two don't resonate with each other? Why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I ask myself the intention. Why am I doing this? And then, but I'm still in my comfort zone. My answer, why am I doing this? Right? But it doesn't resonate with my true self. Does not resonate with my full self. Why am I dressed this way? Well, I don't know. Personally, I think it would be like more comfortable to dress like Skaya. Honestly, that's awesome. And I have harem pants, and I wear them, and they're dank.
You mean hemp?
I think he means kind of more flowy.
Yeah, they're like the flowy, like, there are hemp harem pants.
Okay.
Which would be the ultra dank. But I'll tell you why. Right, we go back into ego construct, and we go back into that whole thing, right? And I mean, like, it's not, dude, trust, I'm like, I really don't have, like, an attachment to, like, what, like, my genes, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know? But it's interesting because the funny thing is if I were to walk outside wearing, like, much baggier jeans, or if I were to walk outside, like wearing, like, super skin-tight jeans, I would feel weird.
Awkward.
Mm-hmm. And why? It's just what I'm wearing over my legs. Why does that matter? I could walk out naked and it wouldn't change who I am, but it would. Like,
Mentally.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, my question is, what if you ask yourself, you set your intention, like, why am I doing this? But that doesn't resonate with, like, your comfort zone. Why am I... Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Think of the flow.
Right.
You get up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Totally.
And
this is what I'm looking for. I see. I already know it's coming. This is what I was asking for. Yeah.
All right. Let's just take the example you keep using, which is you get out and you know you choose what you want to wear. You go out into the world.
Right.
So you have your comfort zone. You have the certain things you like to wear. And then you have your intention on why you like to wear it. So you have the two in the same field. It actually right. almost in the same action.
Right.
Now, if you say, for instance, I want to wear a suit today.
Right.
Because of your intention on wanting to appear.
Right.
A certain way for, let's say, yeah. You know, your haircut's a
my
good example.
My haircut?
You know, the intention is to accommodate for something that you feel that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And then your comfort zone's like, I don't like this suit.
Yeah.
So here you got the clash here.
Yeah.
That I feel will result in, are you following yourself in the highest?
Right. Totally. Of course. Of course it will.
Like if your comfort zone doesn't go along with the suit, you might not be following your highest by wearing the suit?
Well, because if you're wearing the intention, you're basically wearing the intention.
Yeah. <it's>,
but you're not comfortable in it.
Right.
There's something going on within you.
Right.
Or else there wouldn't be a clash anyways.
Totally.
Well, maybe it's just the ego needs to be laid down.
In what
lay
sense?
Down that part of your ego so that you can maybe accomplish something that does go along with your higher self, but your ego's just having problems with like the comfort level.
Mm,
like
right.
being seen in a suit. Like your ego isn't comfortable with
wow,
being
there's
seen
so
in a
many
suit.
Aspects to this. Can I tell you? No, it's so many things because Skaya, on the money, man. Like absolutely. So here's the thing. If you're okay. There's the difference. There's two types of comfort zones. Listen, yo, comfort zone number one, true self comfort zone. Comfort zone being like when I'm hanging out with Skaya and Junie Mae, I know that like I'm following my highest excitement and I'm following my comfort zone, my spirit's soul's comfort zone. Why? Because the three of us share a similar vibration and we can have a good time together. That's exciting. Comfort zone number one. Comfort zone number two. I do things in my life where I get so stuck in a routine that I have no idea how to get out of it. But my soul comfort zone is trying to pull me out of my ego comfort zone to get back into my true comfort zone, when actually it's just that my ego construct has allowed me to perceive the illusion that my true comfort zone is living behind the glass wall, right? So here we come to the conclusion with the man in the suit getting the haircut. The soul comfort zone, right? Your true self. The answer to that is if it clashes, why am I wearing this suit? I don't like wearing this suit. Because I'm out of my soul comfort zone.
Because it's not you.
Because it's not me. Because I'm not following my highest excitement. On the money. Perfect. Junie Mae. Right? Here we go. Is the type of comfort zone. You were referring to the type of comfort zone where you get stuck in the ego construct. Where like your comfort zone will actually shield you and not allow you to break through into really following that excitement, right? Or was that not really like...
I suppose.
Word. Okay, no, let's hear it.
I think I was just sensing that... I mean, maybe even all of those feelings could be a pointing to a factor like we aren't what we wear. And
we're not.
And, right. And maybe it's actually ego that would keep you from being able to wear a suit and feel comfortable. You know,
right.
or feeling so identified to what's on the outside. Not that there is an intention and we don't resonate with certain, you know, physical identities for a reason. It is an expression of
right.
who we are on some levels. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes in life, you know, our path or our higher self might be leading us along a path, you know, to be walking within certain circles or certain spheres of life to where we can wear a suit or a costume
right.
that's acceptable in those spheres.
Right.
And that there's a higher reason for it. And
yes.
that if our ego is so tied up in like, no, I won't wear a suit, I won't wear a tie, it might keep you out of certain arenas that your higher self
wow.
wants to go into.
That's so gnarly.
Does that make
yeah,
sense
it makes
without,
perfect
like...
sense. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Because what's going on in my head was just like, that makes perfect sense. What's going on in my head is the difference between like, okay, here we go. I know that coming up for this new job that every now and then I'm probably going to have to wear a suit.
Yeah.
I've worn suits. They're too tight. I don't like them.
Right.
Sure, like I look at myself in the mirror and like honestly my ego pats me on the back and I'm like, you look good.
Yeah.
Really. Seriously. And I'm not going to deny that. That's okay if I feel like I look good.
Right.
But my, like, self, my, like, heart is like, dude, Dave, get out of the suit. And I change. And I go like, hey, how you doing? Hi,
right.
David.
And you are still you, David,
yes.
in the suit.
Right.
And because you're in that suit, you're probably, I mean, just the fact that you have to wear it, you're probably going to be led into areas that you normally wouldn't go
right.
on your own, but you're still David, so it's almost like a Jedi mission, because you're still David, and you're
yeah.
still bringing the light that you are, and the consciousness that you have into areas where people might not necessarily usually have an opportunity to meet you, or to have conversations with you. You know, there's a certain wisdom that you carry, and maybe your higher self is asking you to put on the suit and go into places and just be you in those places. You know? And it's like all a big divine trick.
Jedi mission. That's it. It is a Jedi mission.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, in reality, in the way that it all makes sense, of
totally.
Course, someone like you wouldn't get a haircut and wear a suit and go into places where suit people are going to be.
Word. Totally.
You know, but spirit's giving you an opportunity to create, you know, abundance for yourself and security in different ways.
Wow.
And so this
wow.
might all be a part of it.
Wow, wow, wow. Absolutely. This is all a part of some divine scheme, I'll tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave's Good Vibration Station. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Skaya, Skaya, brother Skaya Indigo. Brother Skaya!
Blessing.
Cha! Yes! Blasting off into space. Junie Mae, what a pleasure. What a blessing. Such a bright light that has just is been blessed upon us. Yes, thank you so much for both of you guys. I love each and every single one of you out there unconditionally. This is Davy Crockett. Make sure to check us out, like our Facebook page. Also, Star Knowledge TV, star symbols. Start practicing them. We send you unconditional love, light, joy, happiness, and laughter. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Close your eyes and let me be your wordsmith.
Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all. In all the silly games like when we used to play and see how fast we could smoke out of roar and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times. Doesn't matter if we had sacks and dimes, we got each other until the end of this rhyme. At least that's how it seemed, that everything was fine. Get drunk and blaze, but I guess that was just another phase, like selling X or getting late. But now I have to work to get paid. Not that money really matters in this life, I mean, right? Not that money really matters in this life. Not that money really matters in this life.